seek in the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to John's Gospel, chapter 4, and verses 28 and 29. John's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 28 and 29. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? The Gospel according to John, chapter 4, verses 28 and 29. The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? The Holy Spirit has left this wonderful record of the Lord dealing with the dear woman of Samaria. There are a few things I just want to briefly name before leading to the text. First of all, we read that he must needs go through Samaria. There was a divine purpose in why the Saviour had to go through Samaria. And one of the divine purposes was the case of this dear woman had got to be met. And not only her case, but many in Samaria, through it all, were to be brought to know the precious Jesus. Secondly, this dear woman had a thirst naturally, and it was the purpose of the Lord that she should go at this time to the well. Now each of us know what it is to have a thirst naturally. Think of a little babe, as soon as it is born, it immediately manifests, if it's healthy, that thirst and hunger, doesn't it? And so she went up needing water. And it wasn't by chance that the Saviour sat thus on the well. And he asked her to give him water. And she was amazed that he, being a Jew, should ask this of a woman who was a Samaritan. Because the Jews had no dealings with them, as we read. But he soon begins to show her some very wonderful things, doesn't he? The first was this, that she, though she sought natural water, should be seeking heavenly water. He tells her, doesn't he, that the water she should drink of, she would soon thirst again. But that heavenly water that he would give, she would neither thirst any more. And to be amongst those that have a thirst for living water, and that living water flows through the dear Lord Jesus. But then we find in her heart. And it's very wonderful, really. She immediately perceives that he is some prophet. And she says, I know that the Messiah cometh. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And oh, how beautifully he set before her those precious words, and I've often quoted them, but they're very sweet words, aren't they? He said, I that speak unto thee am he. Now, there are two things here. The first was this. She knew that Christ would come. And in a sense, she was looking for this, though she was still in ignorance and in sin. But then, the second thing was this, that she was to be brought to know who it was that spoke to her, the Saviour himself. But then he gives her a commission, go, call thy husband, and come hither. And how she has to say, I have no husband. And then he, and this is the point I want to really press home in each of our hearts, in a very loving way, he speaks to her very searchingly. Thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thine husband. In that saidst thou truly. And what we have here, and we've no stones to cast at this dear woman, she was a poor sinner. She was prone to fall. She had done. So are we, aren't we? But the point is this, which has been so much with me since this text came, and what she said when she went into the city, he told me all things that ever I did. You know, what the Lord was setting before was this. He knew more about her than she knew about herself. And that's the point I want to press home with your heart and me this morning. It's a very searching point, that is. You see, the Lord knew all about this woman without her uttering a word. And the Lord knows all about your heart and mine and our life, our pathway, more than we know it. Without a saying a word. And that's very searching, you see. The all-seeing eye of the Lord saw exactly what was in this woman's heart, what was in her past life and all the way she'd been walking. And the all-seeing eye of the Lord saw her. Let me name two other characters in the Word of God where this was so manifested. The first, you go back to the case of Hagar in the book of Genesis. You remember how she was cast out of Sarah's house, and in that wilderness where she was, what did she utter? Thou, God, seest me. She solemnly realized the all-seeing eye saw her exactly as she was. You know, we may put on our best clothes to go to chapel or another, to weddings or other occasions. But you see, it alters our appearance. I remember once putting my old clothes on to do a job of work at Harpenden Home. And I put this boiler suit on and I did the few things that were needed to be done. But you know, the old residents in the home, they didn't recognise me. Soon as I put my best clothes on, they knew I was. But you see, the point is this. The all-seeing eye of the Lord sees us, whatever we may have on, whatever we may do, whatever we may say, whatever we may think. And this is what was so with this dear woman. But then the second character that we will just name is dear Peter. You remember how he said to the Lord Jesus that he was willing to go even unto death and to the cross because of his love to the Saviour. And we believe dear Peter's desire and longing was real. But what did the Lord Jesus say to him? Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. There was Peter saying what he was going to do, but you see, Peter was only a man. So are you, so am I. And we're prone to fall. And prone to sin. And you look how in that judgment hall, Peter denied his master those three times. And you see as the third time he denied him, immediately the cock crew. And the point is this, the Lord knew more about Peter than Peter knew about himself, didn't he? If the Lord had said to Peter, thou shalt deny me three times, Peter would have said, no, I love thee, Lord, I will follow thee, and I go even unto death. But you see, left in the hour of temptation, he denies even his blessed master. And the Lord knows, I often feel concerning my own heart, the Lord knows me better than I know myself. And he does you. You may say, well, I don't believe that, but we'll leave that with you and with the Lord. But you see, the Lord sees, and he sees every action, every step, every thought, every deed. Exactly how we live, exactly how we walk. There's nothing hid from him. And the solemn day of judgment will come where we will have to stand before the judge of the whole earth. And how shall we stand in that great day? You know, the hymn writer continually said it, didn't he? How shall I stand in that great day? But let us go further. The Lord reveals himself as the Saviour of sinners to this dear woman. He came into this earth to save, Mr. Whitfield said, the devil's castaways. And when he said that, you know, there were two women in his congregation that had lived in sin for years. And in the town where they lived, they were even rejected by those around them in the town. And the Lord brought them in such solemn concern about their souls and how they'd lived and how they'd walked. They thought they were going to the house of God and hear Mr. Whitfield preach. And they crept in on that occasion, and during his sermon, he said, beloved friends, he said, Christ came into the world to save the devil's castaways. And you know, it went right home into the hearts of those two dear women. And the Lord wonderfully revealed himself like he did to this dear woman. He didn't love her sin, but he loved her soul. And the same with those two dear women. And you see that heard Whitfield. And as Whitfield preached to them this precious Jesus that this dear woman was brought to know, the Lord wonderfully brought them out of all their sin and brought them as faithful characters in the house of God. And after some years, they joined the church there and were gracious pillars in that church. But oh, what they came out from. Now, you see here, the Lord speaks and he makes this dear woman to know exactly what she was as a sinner before the Lord. Black and vile. But in the dear Redeemer, there was everything she needed. There was pardon. There was peace. There was the assurance of heaven. Nothing what she had done, but it was all what the Saviour was to do for her. And the Lord brings her to a real worshipper of the Lord. You see, how do we worship him? Do we worship him in spirit and in truth? Like Christ set before this dear woman. You see, she immediately questioned him concerning that he had said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say, in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And why did he say to Jerusalem? Because that was God's holy city. This is where the Lord was. And this is where they got to worship him. But oh, what does he say to her? He says, ye know not what ye worship. And solemnly, that is so concerning many today. They profess to be worshippers, but they know not what they worship. You take the various denominations throughout the earth today, those that worship idols, those that worship false gods, they know not what they worship. There's only one God that we should worship, and this is what the Saviour set before the dear woman, and that was the God of heaven, he that rules the universe, he that speaks the promises, he that rolls the clouds and stars along. They're all in his hand. Ye know not what ye worship. And then he says this, we know that for salvation is of the Jews, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Oh, may the Lord grant to us that real heart worship, like the dear woman in the Gospel. When she came to Jesus, she worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She was a real worshipper. It wasn't just an outward appearance in the house of God. It was heart worship. And this is the worship that the real child of God longs for. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then, of course, he reveals to her who he is. But I want to come to this text. When the disciples came to the Lord Jesus, and And upon this the disciples marvelled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, "What seekest thou?" or "Why talkest thou with her?" They were amazed. And you know there are times where even God's dear people and his servants are amazed how he deals with these dear children. You see, God is no respecter of persons. He deals with each of his dear children personally, individually, and he deals with them according to his own mind and will and divine pleasure. Oh, he does. And so he did with this dear woman, you see. The disciples were amazed that he spoke to her, and doubt whether as he did. Now upon this, what did the dear woman do? Well, the first thing was this. The woman then left her water pot. You may say, what? This vital thing that she'd gone up to draw water for, she left it. Yes. There were far more important things for this dear woman than that water pot. There are many things that the Lord's dear children will have to leave to be real followers of the Lord Jesus. And this dear woman, you know, from this hour was to be a real follower of a meek and lowly Jesus. And if we're to follow him, was much we will have to leave. Oh, there is. We've got to leave ourselves. We've got to leave our sins. We've got to leave our worldly company. We've got to leave the things of time. You may say, well, why have we got to leave them? Well, let me put it like this lovingly. The hour's going to come, and none of us know how soon, when we shall have to leave this earth. And the Lord will make his dear people willing to leave all and to follow him. He'll make them willing. That doesn't mean to say physically they may have to leave their occupation. There have been many occasions where that is so. You take it in the case of the dear disciples. The vital thing is this. What is most important? If the Lord were to come to you and to me today and to say, this day or this night thy soul shall be required of thee, it won't matter what you've got here, it'll never profit you. You've got to leave it, you see. And the vital thing is, with each of our souls, the Lord will make us willing to hold the things of time with a very loose hand. You take the dear disciples. There were those fishermen, Peter and others. And what did he say to them? Follow me. It was a clear command by the Saviour. And what do we read? They left all and followed him. The Lord in a moment made them willing to leave it all because Christ was the one thing that was needful. And then you take Matthew at the receipt of custom, now he lived in sin there and corruption at the receipt of custom. And the Lord said to him, follow me. And we read he rose up and he left all and he followed him. Oh, he did. And there are many others that you could name in the Word of God. They had to have these things. They got to leave. The day had come where we have to leave our wives, our husbands or our children because death comes. It's passed upon all men, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, what the Lord Jesus was doing, just briefly, in the heart of this dear woman, he was showing her what she was before him. And he was showing her the vital thing was to know a precious Jesus as her Saviour, her Redeemer. And look at the gracious effect it had on her. It brings her to this, and the woman then left her water pot. That the man would say was so important to her, and it was to draw water, but you see, it had to take second place, didn't it? There was a greater thing that she got to do. And it was this. She went her way into the city. And saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now I seek to be led into this because this is a very deep and precious and profound word. The first thing is she went her way into the city. The time had come where we say the conclusion of this service, we'll go our way, but where are we going to go? We go our way. Many go to worship in various parts of the earth, in various denominations. And as soon as the service is over, they go back into their sin and into their wickedness and into their own natural ways. This dear woman went her way, and it was God's way. It wasn't her way. It was the way the Lord had have her go. And you think of it as you leave the house of God, whether it's this morning or this afternoon or whenever. How do we go? Do we lay it all down and say, well, we forget about what we've heard? Or do we lay it to heart? I remember some years ago, a dear godly lady, she was talking to me about the way the Lord led her, and she said, you know, there were times where I went up to the house of God and the Lord's dear servant seemed to tell me all that I was in and all that I was doing, everything that ever I did. It was just so the Lord said to him, this isn't your case. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? I remember sitting here under your late beloved pastor on one occasion. I was in the depths of trouble. I've mentioned it before, but you know, it was just as though the Lord told the dear man everything I was in. And you know, the Saviour, he told this woman everything, didn't he? He knew all about her. And he knows all about your trouble, all about your distress, all about the sins that weigh you down, the grief there is within, the need of the Lord's appearing. But oh, this dear woman, she left her water pot. That had got to stay where it was. She got something greater to do. And that was to do the Lord's will and went her way into the city. And what does she say to the men of the city? a beautiful word, come, see a man. Look at the first word, and I'll be brief. The first word, come. This was the invitation not only of the dear woman, it was the Lord's invitation. You know, really, that word come is a gospel invitation to sinners to come to the Saviour just as they were, to come with all their burdens, to come with all their guilt, to come just as they are. I love that couplet in the 155th hymn. It's a beautiful word the dear hymn writer spoke, and it's the Lord speaking, really. He's speaking of the precious fountain of his precious blood. This fountain, though rich, from charge is quite clear. Come, this blessed word come is mentioned so many times. The poor are the wretch, the welcomer here. Come needy, come guilty, come loathsome and bare. You can't come too filthy, come just as you are. And this is how this dear woman had to come to the Saviour, didn't she? Just as she was, just as you are. There's not one character that rightly came to the Saviour the Lord put away in his word. There were those that professed to come, but never came in heart. But those that came under the blessed influence of the Lord and were coming sinners to Christ, he didn't ever send them away, did he? I love that couplet of the hymn. He will not send them empty back, nor fright them from the door. So, really, Mr. Whitfield, going back to him, he said, not that he agreed with women preachers, because he didn't. The word of God is clear, let women keep silence in the churches. But he said, concerning this dear woman, when she went into the city, she was the first woman preacher. And what did he mean? Come, see a man. You think of this wonderful word that she delivered in the city. Come, see a man. She could declare it because she had to come herself, didn't she? And all she desired was those that were walking in sin and unbelief might come to him too. And those that were distressed and burdened and weighed down because of their sin. But where had they got to come? See a man. Who was this man she was speaking of? It was none other than the Lord Jesus himself. What does the hymn writer say? A man there is, a real man, with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran. In hands and feet and sight. Come, see a man. I tell you what, poor soul, if the Lord has ever favoured you, like he did this dear woman, to see this glorious man, you will say, Lord, may every one of our family, may every one in the house of God come and see this man. And see him for themselves. And we read, didn't we, in the lesson that they not only believed in the city because of the woman's sayings, but they came and they heard him themselves. And they believed on him themselves. Because not only of the woman's saying, because they went and saw him. See a man. And I tell you what, poor soul, in this glorious man, to faith, there's everything you'll need. You may have come this morning and say, well, I'm
so cast down, I'm so tempted, I'm so troubled, I'm so weighed down by sin, you come to this glorious man. Why? Because in him is pardon, in him is peace, in him is forgiveness, in him is love, in him is mercy, in him is salvation. Well, could the apostle say in the Acts when he said, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name given under heaven whereby ye must be saved. The name of Jesus. Come see a man which told me. What a testimony, wasn't it? All things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Christ? She immediately sets before them who he was. The Saviour, the Redeemer. And she draws them all to him. With this beautiful word. And may there be in this dark and solemn day many drawn by the Lord to the dear Redeemer. What does the Saviour say himself? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And he won't. Because those that are drawn to him will be drawn by the bands of love, everlasting love, eternal love, and the cords of a man. And that man is Christ. Come see a man that told me. And just one thing further before we leave it. Look how personal it was. The dear woman said that told me all things that ever I did. It's me, Lord. I need thee. It's me. I'm a poor sinner. It's me. I've sinned. I've come short of the glory of God. It's me, Lord. I need thy mercy. I need thy pardoning love. I need thy deliverance. I need thee to work. It's personal, you see. And it is this personal dealings with the Saviour that this dear woman had. And she could speak of it, couldn't she? Be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it, today, if there were those that were able to say to the church here or throughout Zion, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? He got something to tell them, hasn't she? Then will I tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour I have found. I point to his redeeming blood and say, behold, the way to God. Well, I've scratched around the surface of this morning. And may the text be applied to each of us. And may we lay to heart the case of this dear woman. You see, there she was, a poor black sinner, brought to acknowledge her sin before the Lord because he knew all about her. And he tells her what she is. And yet on the other hand, she was able to come to him for all she needed. And she saw, and her faith alone will see it, a blessed beauty. And suitability there was in Jesus to her case. I love that couplet of the hymn. Suited to every sinner's case. And that's what the dear Lord Jesus is. Well, may the Lord bless the word. Amen.